Welcome to the Hollywood Outsider, an award-winning weekly entertainment podcast. In this episode, we'll be discussing what are the spoiler rules these days. I'm tired of people telling me, be careful of spoilers. Then we will put together our own anti-hero teams before we review Marvel's kickoff to the summer, Thunderbolts. Asterisk. Let's head into the cinema? I don't know. Let's get on with the show. Trying to make fetch happen. My name is Aaron Peterson. Joining me today are my fellow host, John Davenport.
Hey, buddy.
Troy Heinrichs.
Whoa, what's up?
And Amanda Sink she's still traveling. She's actually embarking on a new life in a new city again.
And for her.
Yeah, you got something. Are you just sad that you're not embarking on a new life?
Like, I'd like to travel too, but somebody needs to keep the entertainment news flowing. So
I know.
We're here.
Yeah, what the hell?
You got to show up to work. I mean, I don't know. I don't have a lot of room to talk. I embarked on a different thing similar a couple of months ago.
Hey, everybody's embarking. Enjoy. Embark. Remember, you can always find more information at thehollywoodoutsider.com. You can also find us on Facebook or X or Threads or wherever you find podcasts, whatever it is. Please rate and subscribe on your preferred podcast app. And if you haven't yet, our summer movie preview is already out in the feed. It released last week. And please enjoy it. We go through every damn movie that's coming out this summer. A lot.
Many choices and a very good summer slate that we will be enjoying as we move along.
Hope so. Theaters are on fire, man. They are on fire for Sinners.
Yeah, big weekend last weekend. Yeah.
Oh my God. Sinners and repeat it. We should mention, I mean, it's going to be a massive hit. Like this thing last weekend and now going into this weekend, I'm sure it'll drop a little bit because of Thunderbolts, but by the time you hear this, but it only dropped like 6% from the first weekend. That's phenomenal.
Wild.
Doesn't happen.
And like unheard of for an R-rated movie on top of that.
It's unheard of for any movie, let alone an R-rated. I mean, it's just unheard of. It's fantastic. Good for them. And Ryan Coogler has a cool deal where the rights revert back to him after 25 years, which is actually a more common deal than you think, but people are making it seem like it's unheard of. I'm like, well, I guess you never heard of Tarantino because he's had that deal a couple times.
Well, let's hope the earth is here in 25 years for him to have that.
I'm sure it'll pass down to his family and whatnot. Anyway, so yeah, we're excited. And then we've got several other movies that have come out recently. We've got Thunderbolts. We're heading into summer, man. We're full on. And TV is starting to wind down because it does feel like, it kind of feels a little bit like TV season of the past, right? Where this is the time of year where TV starts winding down. I don't really see a lot of summer shows I'm getting excited for.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything drop or get advertised as like a June or July release. It felt like there was a lot that just like dropped in April. And that's like, here's the 8-week push to go from April to June 1st. And then after June 1st, goes down.
And you're going to talk about You a little bit later,
oh,
right?
Oh, yes. Okay. Yes, we are.
No spoilers. No spoilers.
I binge the hell out of that.
I just want to know if it landed. So we'll talk about it when we get there. But first, there's a couple things, and we're going to move into our topic before we get into Thunderbolts. Got to find out if this, is Marvel back? Do they have that swagger back? But first, speaking of swagger, Miami Vice, if you ever watched the iconic 80s MTV Cops, is what they were known as. It's James Sonny Crockett and Ricardo Tubbs. They were detectives. They were Vice cops in Miami, dressed awesome, had cars that they never could have afforded with a soundtrack that I didn't understand how they had the money to pay for it. Phil Collins obviously lit it up. Glenn Frey, the whole kit and caboodle. That's being remade. They already made a movie off of this, right? They already did a very dark, heavy version of this with Colin Farrell and Jamie Foxx, and Michael Mann, who created Miami Vice, was behind it. Now they're going a different way. Michael Mann is not involved, but Universal Pictures announced they are going to do another remake, and they're going to have Joseph Kosinski as the director. Dan Gilroy is rewriting a script, and if Dan Gilroy is behind Andor, which I know you're a fan of, Troy. So This is a... If they can make it cool and fun, because that's what the show was. The movie was terrible. I hated that movie. Absolutely. And I love Miami Vice, but I hated that movie. It was so terrible. I want to see a remake.
Well, if I remember right, the major focus of the television show was about the Mexican cartels.
It was just about drugs. It wasn't always cartels.
Yeah, it wasn't always Mexican either.
It was just anybody who was dealing drugs. Bruce Willis was one of the dealers back in the day.
Oh,
I think it was his first big job.
Yeah, there was so many people who started off in the original show. If they do it something like a not necessarily like a buddy cop comedy or just like a buddy cop story, that would be pretty much a much better thing than the Michael Mann movie did. If they went that way,
it was a buddy thing when Michael Mann did it. He was just too dark and dour. There was no fun factor. It was just dire, and it was boring. Boring and dire are two things that should never go together. And it was especially really sad.
When you're in Miami.
Yeah, well, Michael Mann's a great director. He's made some great. He made frickin' Heat. I mean, come on, do Heat with Miami cops. I mean, that would have been a fantastic movie.
I'm sure you can pull Al Pacino out of nowhere.
Leave Pacino, he can stay where he's at. He doesn't need to be anywhere near this. You could have made a great film because the sauce is there, you know. I really do believe Colin Farrell and Jamie Foxx, they were fine. They actually meshed well together. It was just so dark and dour and boring.
Well, we got a chance to right the ship, I guess.
I'm excited. Joseph Kosinski, who did Top Gun Maverick, and he's doing that F1 movie. I think he knows how to shoot. And he did Oblivion, too, if I remember right. He's a good director, man. So I think he can really make this pop. Dan Gilroy is a good writer.
Hey, as long as we got iconic 80s music in here, I'm down.
You got to at least have Phil Collins, at least a cover. You do.
You do.
Yeah.
You got to pull him out of somewhere.
Well, he can't do it. I mean, that would just be a sad cover. So he's got to have somebody new and fresh to cover it or do the original. You have to have I Can Feel It Coming in the Air Tonight. You do. The song is called In the Air Tonight. I know that, but I'm just making sure people know what song I'm talking about. I'm excited. I'm hyped for that.
Yeah, we can tell. Like, this is the most energy you've had in a while.
I disagree with that, sir. Why don't you bring yours up? Let's go. Also, we got Brad Pitt. He's going to star in Conclave director Edward Berger's follow-up. And if you haven't seen Conclave, very timely right now. So the project he's going to be doing is an adaptation of Tim Winton's novel, The Riders, which is something that Brad Pitt himself wanted to bring to light. And so he's producing, he's starring in this movie. And apparently what the plot is the novel follows Fred Scully, who's played by Brad Pitt. And after traveling through Europe for 2 years, he ends up in Ireland with his wife and daughter and decides to buy this old farmhouse that stands in the shadow of a castle. So he spends weeks renovating it. And Jennifer goes back to Australia to liquidate their assets. And then when he goes to pick her up at the airport, Jennifer and their 7-year-old daughter, Billy, are supposed to be there, but only Billy shows up. So it's then a search for what happened to Jennifer. And then his life kind of falls to pieces. That's the plot. I really was impressed with Conclave. So that alone makes me somewhat intrigued in what this is going to be. You guys care about this one either way?
This is one of those I'd be interested to find out what happens as it comes along, but it, like without any sort of access to the, not that I don't have access, but without any
access to a book that you could get online and read. Sure.
Yeah. Without any sort of like baseline to work with, I don't know how to get excited about this, but the team behind it sounds great. So if they are bringing it up, maybe I'll just go ahead and read the book.
Anything that's like in this like spooky, sciencey, witchy, disappearing act concept, I'm all in for that stuff.
If that's what it is.
We don't know.
I don't know if it's haunting or not. Honestly, I don't know.
Qigong. That's all that matters.
I've looked at the book and people are very trepidatious about what's going on, but there are references to folklores about the Wild Hunt. So, you know, that's like mythical hunters and whatnot. So I think there'll probably be something in there around those lines. Yeah.
Aren't all book people like really like cautious of when they make a movie out of their favorite book?
That's why John doesn't read.
Yeah.
Then you don't have that problem. You never have that problem if you just don't read any books.
The Wild Hunt is something that I've read about in other stories, and I sort of have this idea of what it is, and I get really excited just because of the connection it has to the other stories that I've read that has it. And so I'm all of a sudden, I've just U-turned into like, okay, I really want to find this out.
All right. Well, I'll take that for the win. Just a couple things that are coming out. You know, there's so many projects that are announced every day anymore. It's just hard to know what is really worth talking about.
What's actually going to come to fruition out of all the projects that get greenlit?
Well, especially, I mean, what, like last week or the week before, we talked about the Star Wars projects, right? Starfighter, I think it was a couple weeks ago. The Ryan Gosling one. Who knows? I mean, I think there's been like 10 Star Wars projects that have been greenlit and never came out. So you just never know if these things are ever going to happen. So it's hard to get excited about stuff unless it's a guaranteed sequel. It's really hard to get stoked anymore.
Rest in peace, Rogue Squadron.
You really wanted that one?
Dude, Top Gun in space? Absolutely.
Rogue Squadron is an important story. It really is. So many cool things come out of it.
You don't even know what they were going to do with it, though, right?
But you keep on talking about how you would like that Skywalker's removed from it. Well, the Skywalkers have nothing. They may have like
a cameo.
Yeah, there's some cameos of Skywalkers in the books when it comes to Rogue Squadron, but they're not. You're talking about Wedge Antilles and a couple other people that are finally get to have their time in the spotlight.
Those books that don't exist?
Those books that don't exist, yes.
Okay.
It's not just Skywalkers. I don't want connection to everything from nine movies. Like, you've got a whole galaxy far, far away. Do that! You don't have to just be in this one spot all the time with these same characters that, well, there's a connection. So, you know, they were one of the X-Wing fighters that were with Luke, and now there's some other story. I don't need that, man. Just get new characters and new stories. That's what I want. That's
except the one time that they tried to do that, it fell on its face with the Acolyte.
That's not the only time they've tried it. They did it with Rogue One. None of those characters were connected. Maybe the plans were connected to the story, but the characters were completely separate, and that movie was a massive hit.
But the concept was still within the nine movies.
That's fair, and that's fair.
And but, Leia was in the movie at the end.
But they haven't done anything movie-wise to try and test this, really, is what I'm saying. Like, that's what they need to try, because I think people just want to see lightsabers and Jedi mind tricks. I don't think they care if you have a Skywalker in it, or it's adjacent to what's going on with the Empire and blah, blah, blah. And I don't think the Acolyte is a fair comparison, because that was just bad television. I mean, do it better, and I bet you more people would have liked it. Maybe. I don't know. There's some Star Wars fans are weird.
Skeleton Crew was really good.
Skeleton Crew is great.
The reason why Skywalkers are always involved in it is because the Skywalkers are the best or the strongest Jedis out there.
No, it's because it's easy.
Because they were just the only Jedi, and brand, he was the son of the one that saved the world.
Right? It's just brand recognition. That's all it is. I don't agree with that they're the strongest or the best. Sure, they might have the top brass because, you know, he became Darth Vader, and he's the coolest, most iconic villain in history. Why are we spending so much time on Star Wars? How the hell?
I don't know, man. You're really going for it today.
Jesus, we got to move on. I can't with them.
Well, if you liked Rogue One, Andor is back. So go ahead and watch season one and season two on Disney Plus.
I did. I don't like Andor, so I can't.
We know you've made that very clear.
I'll say it to all the people that keep trying to tell me, oh no, give it 16 more episodes. It'll be really on fire.
I gave it 3 episodes. That's all I needed. And I usually stick with things. So no.
Were you bored too?
I was bored.
Thanks. It was boring.
I watched the first three, episodes, and it was not fun. And the only reason why I at some point I realized the only reason why I was watching it isn't a healthy reason to watch anything. So I stopped watching it.
What's an unhealthy reason to watch something?
I like Star Wars, therefore I must watch Star Wars, so I'm being gaslit to watch Star Wars even though I hate it. Kind of like Acolyte.
Something like that. But also, like, I only really was watching it for Momoa's girlfriend. I can't remember her name right now.
Oh, that's a super unhealthy way.
Exactly. That's what I was saying.
Especially since she has a name, and I'm not going to tell you what it is. All right, so we're going to go into our From the Outside In topic. I want to talk, we were just talking about Star Wars, so why not? This is a great window. You know, we mentioned in here and there about spoilers and how, you know, and I just like to revisit this every few years in particular just to see how times have changed. And I'm tired of people yelling every time you post anything. Now people get mad if you post anything that's remotely close to a spoiler. You could mention that somebody's in something that has been prominently publicized. There's trailers, there's ads and everything else, and they're saying you're spoiling something. So I just kind of want to get a grip for where you guys are in terms of spoilers and what the rules are for you and what you see other people doing that is ridiculous as well as makes sense. Like I'll give you an example. Cal Nolan, friend of the show, you know, he famously avoids trailers, right? He goes out of his way to just not watch that stuff. And, you know, for him, he doesn't really get spoiled on much. And I respect that. You know, he doesn't really hound any, we post a bunch of stuff. He doesn't hound me anytime anything goes in there or says, you can't post that. That's bad. You know, bro. Never hear a complaint because he's pretty good at avoiding stuff he doesn't want to see. As am I. I hardly ever am spoiled. I never worry about it. I just don't intentionally go out and look for something and know how to avoid something. But yet there are some people who are like, well, this ruined it for me. This ruined that for me, which I've always had the argument that if it ruined it for you, it wasn't good writing to begin with, because if it's just a surprise, there should be something more to it. You'd like to be surprised, but there still should be more to it. Where do you guys sit? What are your rules?
I mean, I was thinking about this actually just as the fifth and final season of You dropped, like what would be considered a spoiler that would make me like ruin my experience of watching the season.
And how it ends. You know,
well, and there's like posts out there like all the returning characters that are coming back and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, sure, they'll come back as flashbacks or whatever it is. But like for that, I don't consider that a spoiler. The how they're integrated into the story and the why the flashback or whatever happens, to me, that would be the spoiler. Like, I don't want to know why they're showing up. I'm glad they're there because it's a kind of a capstone on everything that Joe has done. Mm-hmm. But when I found out why they were there, I was like, oh, shit, that's cool. You know, you spoil that. That would be a spoiler to me, not just the fact that they're in the thing, because you don't know what's going to happen. They could be there for 2 seconds.
Yeah. And I've already seen articles where they're basically posting about what the ending is. And I've just avoided them. I mean, right. I as soon as I see a U in it, I move on, or I pen Badgley, I move on, something along those lines. You know, I don't need to block anything. I don't have that. Oh, I got to read it. Oh, I got to see what this headline says. Nope.
And just
the indication.
And just don't go to Forbes or Entertainment Weekly at all, because they'll put the spoiler in the headline.
Oh, that's pretty, they are pretty terrible. Yeah. For clicks. It's all for clicks, man. That's the job. People want to spoil it now so that you click on there. They get money off every click on their website, on Facebook, on Twitter, on all those things, those accumulations of clicks pay them. So they want you to open it. They want you to at least share it with somebody. Like, can you believe they put this out here? They want you to do all those things. They want you to rage, man, because the rage gets them money.
Like Chris Evans being Human Torch in Deadpool Wolverine.
What? Damn it, man. Right? You ruined it for me.
I know. Like Chris Evans is going to be in the movie. Not a spoiler. Why he's in the movie, spoiler.
Ultimately, what I find to be the spoiler, and trailers can do this, articles can do this, your friends can do this, everything can do this, but anything that robs you from what the writers reveal, and that he spends this, however long it takes them, not he, but them, to create the story, line it up the way they want to line it up, and then create execute a great reveal, anything that takes you out of that reveal and or ruins it for you, that's a spoiler. Because there's a lot of momentum that's built into that. There's a lot of thinking that goes into it. There's a lot of creativity that just happens that so that you can be told a story in a specific way, and so that you can feel a certain way that the writers are planning for you.
Well, when you think of, I mean, I think studios are spoiling things now, honestly.
Yeah.
I think it's gotten really, and I get why Kyle avoids trailers, because there's so many of them. You know, what was the movie I just saw like a month ago? The Amateur. The whole movie is in the trailer. Literally every beat except one is in the trailer. I mean, it's just so much of it is telegraphed. And I get it. They're trying to sell a movie. They're trying to get you to a theater. Right. But, and Sinners, I think, did it too. I mean, it's obvious what the spin is halfway through the movie. But if you walked into that movie and hadn't seen a trailer, there's no way you know what's coming. There's zero chance, because they don't tip their hat to it until it's time. And the trailer, though, tells you everything that's going to happen right off the jump.
Maybe that's the problem. Is this 2 minute, 2.5 minute trailer sequence? Like, remember the days of Periscope? Where'd that go? 6 seconds. Periscope. Tell me what you got to tell me,
Jesus,
in 6 seconds.
Grandpa.
That's all I got the time. Right?
God.
But if you can get my attention in 6 to 10 seconds on a YouTube short or a TikTok or an Instagram reel or what, you know, like, I don't need a 2.5 minute explanation to sell me on this movie. If you can't do it in 30 seconds, like a traditional radio or television commercial, then it's not going to be good.
Well, that's the thing. That's not what people are watching, though. And by the way, if you start going to Chive or something, I'm going to even be even more disappointed.
Well, trailers used to be something that would wet your whistle. They would be something that got you to watch a movie. And it used to tell you the briefest version of that story so they'd get you to go see it. And over time, it's become like, you know, what kind of whiz-banging thing can I throw at you to get you to watch this story? What do you, you know, no one's paying attention anymore to trying to sell this story to you. They're now trying to just get you to show up by whatever visuals they can throw at you. And that's the part of the problem with it, because no one's really policing what they're doing in the trailer to make sure that doesn't spoil you.
Even marketing, I will tell you, I thought, and I know people got excited about it and stoked, and we talked about it, you know, when Marvel did their reveal of Doomsday, right? And they went through each of the chairs. That was actually a brilliant marketing move. I'm not discounting that. I thought it was genius. Yeah. And they don't have to go through the trouble of trying to keep a bunch of things hidden, because I'm sure there's still some things hidden, but they're like, we'll give them a bunch of names that'll make people excited as it is, and also keep them from looking too much into who else is going to be in this movie, right? But to me, I see that as a huge spoiler. I would love to just go there and not have any idea of all the people that are going to be in it. I would love to, but that'll never happen in this world.
Well, one, we natively pay too much attention to what's going on there.
True, but I mean, they're literally telling me all the characters that are going to be in there before they've even shot an ounce of footage. They just started filming. I mean, this is like weeks after they did the chair thing. And I assume they're only doing that so that it's kind of like what they did with Deadpool versus Wolverine, Deadpool and Wolverine, which is Ryan Reynolds realized a bunch of stuff was leaking out. So he started doing a bunch of fake things to kind of throw people off.
Yeah.
And, you know, leaning into it. Well, I think Marvel's trying to get ahead of it, and I get it. But on the same token, it does take some of the nostalgic effect that I think Endgame had. I mean, yeah, you think they're going to all come back, but when they actually come back and you have all these characters at the end of Endgame, blew me away, because I didn't expect that, or at least not in that manner. Had no idea.
I was at 6 years old already.
I know.
You know, the thing, depending on what kind of story it is you're watching, there's times where spoilers don't matter and there's times where do. Like, let's take a look at Titanic, for example. Big spoiler, the ship sinks.
Yeah. But if you would have told me, well, Jack dies and Rose lives, that's a big spoiler.
That's huge. Right.
And also, right. Still murder, by the way. Still murder. Still waiting for her to get her due. You know, I want a sequel where she goes to the clink. Number one, for hoarding that diamond the whole time and making her poor husband that she did marry struggle and try to get by and everything else, and she just chucked it into the ocean.
Oh, never mind the fact that guy spent so much money to get her there just to have, you know, listen to that story. Going back to the topic here, what do you guys think of the way of like spoiler expiration dates? Do you think that sort of thing exists or what?
It has to.
Yeah.
It's just tricky with TV especially. I mean, you know, you've got big events that happen. I mean, the most prominent one is what happened on Last of Us. I'm not going to say what it is, but, you know, there's a major revelation on Last of Us that happened. And, I mean, people are talking about it openly the next day. I don't think that's right. I mean, you can allude to it. You can, hey, did you see this thing? And then show us a picture of a character who's unrelated, maybe. But I just, man, I think that's really bad. I mean, when you can't even pull up your social media without seeing it's trending at this point. Like, it's always like whatever horrible thing happened or whatever big reveal there was, it's trending anymore. It's out like that minute.
Yeah, especially if you've got your algorithm set up that way to be on like Last of Us Talk or whatever, you know, and it just starts scrolling the minute you open up the app and you're just like, fuck.
Which, why? I'm not. I don't do that. I mean, I don't have, I mean, sure, my app, I'm sure, picks up on whatever I'm interested in. That's what they do. That's what algorithms are for. But the idea that I'm just scrolling under, I don't look up Last of Us information. I just don't. But it kept populating my feed because my phone, I'm sure, heard me say the words or something, or heard me shriek at the moment, whatever, and decided to roll up every possible thing that it could to spoil me, even though I'd already seen it.
Alexa's eavesdropping on you.
Dude, they are. You know that, right? Like, your phone is always listening to you.
Yeah, always. I know my phone's. Okay. I know my phone's always listening to me. I also don't have an Alexa in my house.
As long as you have a phone, you always have an Alexa, a version of it.
Fairly true.
Yeah.
Skynet is ever present.
Dude, that's a real thing. I mean, I had no idea how.
Yeah, it was just. It's just called Starlink.
Oh, right, wow. James Cameron was. Guy nailed it. I'm just waiting, and now we got robots. Tesla's making robots. Oh yeah, it's coming. Get ready. Get ready. I just want to see, can they skin him with that Schwarzenegger suit?
Find out.
That would be awesome. That would be awesome. Do you have friends that fight with you over this? Like, if you post something, do they get mad at you? Or I've actually had people take this down. If I put something on our whole Facebook page, and I'm just like, who the fuck are you?
Yeah, Aaron feels that way every time I open up my mouth.
Yes, you are. You definitely. You're always tap dancing. You want to tell. You want to tell people so bad.
So bad.
So bad. It's just on the edge of his lips at all times. You know this big thing that happened? Let me tell you about it. Come on, don't you want? I'll just tell you this one thing. So this one, this guy shoots this other guy. I'm not saying he dies, but it's ugly. All right, it's ugly.
I'm not saying he dies, but you can actually see through his skull.
I just don't see how he's going to continue in the show. He's got a hole in his head.
Yeah, it's incredible. Like, they're actually using his head as a pipe, and I don't know what the hell they'll do with this show anymore.
And I wish I was exaggerating, but if Troy sees something before me, he's just dying to make sure I know. I don't believe it ever to be, I want to ruin it for you. It's always that he's very excited about it, and he just wants to talk about it. And he's just mad that I haven't watched it yet.
Aaron's usually ahead of me.
Movies usually, TV I'm usually behind.
Yeah.
TV I am usually behind. I don't usually watch anything when it comes out unless I'm worried about.
It's killing me not to talk to Aaron about the studio. So
yeah, fun. I need to catch up so on that good. One. Ugh, I do.
Do you guys think there's such a thing as a story that survives spoilers, or does that not exist?
No, I think it has to. I believe this wholeheartedly. I've said this for years. If you have a major reveal or some plot mechanism, okay, Joffrey dying in Game of Thrones, right? That's a huge reveal. Huge. I'm only using that because it's like 10 years old now. So that was a complete shocker, unless you read the books. I'll let those guys go. But that's a huge shocker. And it's one of those things that once you know it, if you go and rewatch the episode, it still hits you. That's good writing. That's good acting. That's a good episode. It's a great episode. If you watch it and it's just the surprise that he died, but it didn't do anything to you, that's not a very good episode. That's just a shock. And shocks don't do much for me. I think it has to stand the test of time to me. What about you? You think differently?
Well, I think that it depends on the kind of show it is. You're right. With Game of Thrones, it was just good writing. And they had to be good writing because they had to execute it so well because of the book readers. But your usual thrillers, mysteries, or horrors, they rely on surprise so much that you can't really mess with that too much. If you give that away, then all of a sudden you sap the tension out of the room. So I don't think it's as possible with those types of things, but like Game of Thrones.
I disagree. Go look and, well, you can shake your head at me all you want. This is a podcast. We're supposed to talk. Seven. Go watch Seven again. I've known that reveal since it happened, and it works every time for me. It hits me just as hard every time I watch it. I just rewatched Usual Suspects 2 months ago. That ending hit me just as hard, and I know who Kaiser Soze is. I know everything on the board that is pointing to his name. I mean, Sixth Sense still hits me every time. Like, if it's well done, it should be a great shock, and it's something you'll talk about and get other people to go see it. But I think it's still got to play on its own. It still has to play as a whole thing. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, I'll accept that. You showed up with some really good options as far as like where that works, and you're right. The Sixth Sense still works no matter how many times you see it. It still works. It's just a beautifully done, powerful movie. The Kaiser Soze movie, The Usual Suspects. You're absolutely right about that too. So maybe you're right. Maybe it's the fact that when we're watching something that we sort of like, or is just good enough, and then you spoil that one moment and it falls apart, that's a little disappointing because you just invested a bunch of time.
I agree with that. You do get invested in, you would have liked to have had that moment where you had no idea that was coming though. And that would
be, absolutely.
That's the memory you can tell people. Like, I can't believe that. And it's very much like, seriously, Endgame is a great example, not just because it's timely, because it's recent or whatever, but On Your Left. Hits me in the gut every time I hear it, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But when I first saw it, it made me emotional. And when he catches the hammer, made me emotional. Like, these things are just like, the surprise was wonderful, but they work. When you rewatch them, they should hit you as well. And those do. Those do. Spider-Man. My God, that was that surprise was ruined for me. I absolutely knew they were going to be in there. I kept trying to talk myself out of it, but there's enough internet ruining it that I wasn't really surprised. And it still made me cry like a little idiot.
Well, let's change this up a little bit. Okay. All right. So you're a very intuitive person, and I'm a very intuitive person. Troy is a very intuitive person. So if we watch something that is like a mystery or something like that, part of the fun in that is to be able to sit down and intuit are what the story is as it's unfolding in front of us.
A word, but go ahead. Intuitively?
Well, we want to sit there and we want to be able to unwind the movie as best as we can without any sort of help or anything else, because we are trying to like pick up where the story bits are, what leads us to where, and that part of it is really fun. But if you watch a trailer, you already know where everything's going to, you can really lay out where everything's going to land.
I agree with that.
Somebody tells you a critical point, you can see that critical point before it lands. And so like, I'm just talking from the point of view of like people who go to the movies just to really enjoy the story, get involved in it, unwind the story, start playing that game of, oh, there's the gun. I'm going to see that gun again in about 20 seconds, or I'm going to see that gun in about, you know, 45 minutes. Like all that stuff gets really fun for people like us. And you, if you go in preloaded with a bunch of information that gets you, you can actually really throw that story out in front of you, and you're like, uh-huh, okay, great, no surprise, okay, cool, no surprise there either, all right, uh-huh.
Yeah,
so that's a problem,
because I would like to say that for the fifth season of You, I posited a specific thing which I was correct on, so I had the what, but I didn't have the who, and the who was made it pretty awesome. So like, if that had been spoiled, I would have been like, well, why did I watch this season? Because that was like the whole season.
Oh, that would be a big deal for you.
Yeah.
Be a deal breaker, so to speak.
Like, one of my favorite examples of this is, I remember watching Lost, and there is an opening to one of the later seasons of Lost where all you see
is... Should I pay you for this?
No, he didn't. Where all you see is like everyone's face, and it's going around this table. And they're the words they're saying, you're like, what is going on here? What is going on here? And I looked over at the person I was watching it with, and I said, they're playing Risk. And they were like, there's no way they're playing Risk. And then they finally zoom out. They were playing Risk the whole time.
So would that have been a spoiler if you knew that ahead of time?
Yeah, because it was such a well put together scene. It was so fun to like, you know, kind of figure out what it was that was happening in that scene. That if somebody would have taken that away, it would have sucked. Because number one, I get to play the game of like, ha! I knew exactly where they were going with that.
Troy loves that game.
Yeah, but number two, it's just fun, you know.
But everybody loves that game. Everybody loves the game of I was right. I was right. I saw it coming. I was right. Everybody loves that game.
I don't know if I would do it for a 2-minute scene. I'm looking more for like a multi-episode arc kind of thing. So I don't know if that would have been a spoiler if I knew they were playing Risk.
Yeah, now,
if I would have known who was in the coffin, that would have been real pissy, and I would have been angry about that.
Yeah. I'm just saying that that's a small example of exactly what I'm trying to get at when it comes to like people who like to pull apart TV shows and movies. This is the reason why they get upset at spoilers, because you suddenly take away any sort of agency they have in that puzzle.
In the experience, yeah. That's fair. Do you have friends or you know people that get mad about this? Like they get angry? I think everybody knows a few.
I know one person that gets angry. I'm somebody who I've just like you, I've learned to kind of tune out a lot of the noise about movie news and who's going to be where and what's going to be that. Or if I see the words, you know, Battlestar Galactica, I'm done reading. Yeah. You know,
wait, did you see Battlestar Galactica? Is there a new one coming? I'm excited.
I use that as the example because it's old enough to not cause a problem, because then all of a sudden the people who are listening to the show are like, wait a minute, did John see something about this that's going to happen? What the hell? And then they're looking for something that doesn't exist. So I use Battlestar Galactica.
The Cylons were Adam and Eve.
Maybe they're Adam and Steve. That could
be a spoiler. You never know.
It could be.
Do you try to reboot it in 10 years because it'll be 30 years since the last reboot?
So. They're gonna reboot it. They talked about it before. Wait, are you gonna do you get mad? Do you have friends that get mad about spoilers?
I got a couple friends that are mad. It's the ridiculousness to me. It's important to them, but it's ridiculous to me. They're gonna sit through the trailers in front of a movie and like
and then complain about it.
Well, no, and they like close their eyes or they cover their ears. It's like, just go to the lobby for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, why are you going to sit there and look like, you know, like you have your hands like earmuffs? Like, people are like, what is that guy doing?
That one, yes. And I know we have a friend that does that. I don't get that one. I think that's just silly. All right. If I'm going to sit in the theater while the trailers are playing, you accept what you get. You can't be mad about them showing too much, even though, because you know what's going to happen, right? You know what's going to happen. If you watch it when it hits online, You can't be, and I'll be honest, I hardly ever watch online trailers. I really don't. I just don't, as a rule. Now, if I go to a theater, I will watch them in a theater because I'd rather see them on a big screen anyway. And every once in a while, I get disappointed. Oh, you showed me too much, blah, 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 blah. But a lot of times, it actually gets me interested in something I wasn't that interested in before, which is what it's supposed to do. But online, if it's online, I usually don't watch them.
I'm convinced that the trailer actually shows you too much. It's the movie wasn't that good to begin with.
It's good. I agree with that. That's kind of what my point was. If the surprise doesn't catch you by surprise, it should still work as a movie or as a plot point or whatever.
Yeah, I've watched Thunderbolt trailers now, like three different versions of them, and every version has been different.
Mm-hmm.
And I still don't know the premise of the movie other than we need to save the Earth again.
You, Troy, do you remember when I spoiled the whole story of Kong versus Godzilla for Aaron even before the movie, way before the movie came out?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was that
Aaron got annoyed with me?
Well, but that was, you like, I had been avoiding it and you just told me. So
nobody knew anything about it. I just sat there and like, here's what the story is going to be. And you were like, damn it.
Those are the people I hate. And Aaron hates me for this because Aaron's like, I'm actively trying to avoid this. And I'm like, but Aaron, there's this thing.
Yeah. And that's the thing. That's when I get annoyed. I make my own personal behavior accountable so that I don't get spoiled on anything. And people are like, well, didn't you see all these things? No, I didn't see any of that stuff, man. And then Troy will just give me a call and be like, hey, so about 46 minutes in, this thing happens. So guess what I'm doing for 45 minutes, John? Guess.
Waiting for the thing to happen.
Guess. And he always loves to say, well, I didn't spoil anything. You literally just said at 46 minutes, this big thing's going to happen. But I didn't tell you what it was. It doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. Man.
God damn it.
You know, it's so funny how all of a sudden he becomes a lawyer about stuff, isn't it?
Well, he's probably prepared his case before he called. Well, that was a fun conversation. That was interesting. I like to see where everybody is on it and how things have changed. Because remember, like, God, 5 years ago, I think we were in a completely different world where I don't think much was getting spoiled. Like, people were pretty good about keeping it, and I don't think anybody tried. It was getting worse, but it wasn't as bad as it is now.
Well, five years ago, there wasn't anything happening because we were all locked up. But
okay, 6 years.
Yeah, there's that. There's that. But I think it was actually worse before. I think now there's a lot more. It's both better and worse now. It's
Please
like
explain.
It's better in the sense of like studios aren't spoiling themselves as much as they were back then.
Okay.
In trailers and whatnot. They weren't as desperate
to sell the movie to get people in.
Got right. it. Yeah, they weren't back then. Like back then they were just like crushing everything they could, and like all of a sudden, like, why is Hulk here? You know, all this, why am I seeing a Hulkbuster? That would have been so much cooler to just like,
true
you know,
story. True story.
Yeah. So like that, studios aren't doing it that bad. And if they are, there's a lot more misdirection happening. They've learned their mistakes. So it's a little bit better that way, but it's still like the news outlets are still doing everything they can to get the clicks.
Everything they can. All right, well, we got a whole game before we get into upcoming attractions and what you've been watching, and Thunderbolts. And so we're going to make our own Thunderbolts anti-hero team. So each of us get to pick two characters from either movies or TV to make up a six-person team. They're going to take on whatever this massive threat that is going to destroy the world when the Avengers aren't available, which means they can't have superpowers, all right? These are not the Avengers. These are the Thunderbolts, asterisk. So they need to be experts like a Hawkeye or something like that, right? But no actual superpowers other than being very smart or physically imposing. Everybody understand the rules?
Got it.
Okay. Troy, let's do one each and we'll build our team. You go first.
Okay. I chose younger Biff Tannen.
Jeez. Hang on. I'm writing these down. Young.
Wait, what is he an expert of?
Biff Tannen.
He's physically imposing.
Okay.
And he has like the corny jokes. So like he's like the humor of the team, but yeah, it still shows up and, you know, punches the shit literally out of people.
He eats the shit.
That's his line when he like hits people. He's like, eat shit.
He's gonna like defeat the world's problems with a stolen sports almanac. Is that ultimately where we're going with it?
Yep.
It's manure.
Okay.
Why does it always have to be manure?
John, we've got young Biff Tannen.
All right, I can't do this to our team. I really can't. So I gotta do. I really gotta swing for the fences on the first one. Okay. So I'm gonna go with Robert McCall from The Equalizer.
Okay.
And that makes up, that more than makes up for Biff Tannen and the uselessness there of Biff Tannen.
The movie series, right? Denzel Washington's version?
Yes, okay. Denzel Washington's version.
Okay. Well, mine is going to be Dominic Toretto.
Nice. Okay.
Yep. You got somebody who's a planner and he's got access apparently to, he's just shy of a superhero, but not actually one. And he's got muscle. He can beat some ass as well as plan some real serious strategies. Don't make any sense. Okay. And mm-hmm. plus, he's all about family, and I think that's important.
That is important.
Okay. Troy, back to you. Who's your number two?
My number two is Sidney Bristow.
From Alias. Okay.
Okay.
Super smart. It doesn't quite make up for Biff Tannen, but...
Tell people who read Sidney Bristow, because some people might not have seen Alias.
Sidney Bristow was a master of disguise, super spy, had actually passed a mental test to become a CIA agent. And took down special forces and special organizations around the world that were bad people.
I like it. Okay. John, who's your number two?
My number two, because I still feel like I have to make up for this Biff Tannen bullshit, okay. I'm going to have to go with Ethan Hunt from Mission Impossible.
Okay. That's all right. Ethan Hunt. Okay. We got a good team so far. Biff's going to get us some sports deals. I'll tell you that. We're going to make some money off this, you know? Mine is, I feel like this one is obvious, but nobody else took him, so I guess he gets to be part of my team, or part of my two. John Wick. It seems pretty easy. That's he's a pretty, an expert in munitions and every kind of martial arts, I think, and he doesn't quit. So I think you need an plus he's willing to kill. And I think on a team like this, you need an absolute murderer with ethics, I think.
I don't know. Sure. I mean, we got like at least three killers here.
I like it. So... Here's our team. Okay, so we're going to fight whatever's coming. This is our team. We got John Wick. Okay. We got Ethan Hunt. I mean, he's got access to the face-off machine, right? So that's cool. You got Sidney Bristow. She saved the world multiple times. You got Dominic Toretto. Guy's badass and a planner. You got Robert McCall, and he just knows all the underground people and operatives and espionage ways to get things done. And then you got young Biff Tannen, who's just... I don't understand this one, but I love it. You got to have comic relief. He's the Red Guardian of the
team. Yeah, he's Alexei.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like it. I think that would actually be pretty funny. You do need some humor, man. You need some humor.
Yeah.
We don't have a tech. What? Sidney Bristow, is that going to count? Or Ethan?
Well, what she knows is Marshall. Marshall's in the background. But I thought Marshall wouldn't count because Marshall technically did have superpowers.
He did. Because
he could make shit out of anything.
That's fair. Should have thrown MacGyver in here somewhere. Damn it. Missed opportunity. All right, Troy.
Testosterone.
What's coming out soon?
What's coming out soon is people's wallets, because they're going to give us money over at Patreon. That's patreon.com/thehollywoodoutsider. We got the Power Hour currently going over there as we cover The Last of Us Season 2. Also, bonus episodes, Bad Movie Night, lots of stuff in the vault that you can unlock. So make sure you go ahead and head over to patreon.com/thehollywoodoutsider and chat with us in the Discord as well, because you'll get access to the Discord too.
All right. Now what you've been watching. Remember, I do want to mention that I saw The Accountant too, and I think the first movie I thought was just okay. I freaking love the second movie. It is so fun to see Ben Affleck. And The Accountant, if you don't know, he has autism, and he's also a mob accountant. He basically gets recruited back into the fold to work with an agent, a deputy director of the FBI, because a former associate of his is killed, and he needs to get to the bottom of it. So he's also a trained killer. His autism helps him murder, which is weird, but it also makes him an excellent accountant. And he brings his brother back into the fold, who's John Bernthal. And I got to tell you, their dynamic is freaking amazing. They are wonderful together. They have an absolute blast. I feel bad that this movie is probably getting, because Sinners is doing so well, and I think that's great for Sinners. Thunderbolts is going to do well, which kind of makes this fall down a little bit from where I would hope that it would be. But this is a great time. It's a great buddy action flick. And those two are like absolute brothers, where John Bernthal is constantly torturing him. And it's mean and funny, and I absolutely loved it. So I give it $8 of $10 of full price admission.
I watched some TV. My first one's going to be Your Friends and Neighbors with John Hamm. There's also Amanda Peet and Olivia Munn are in here as well. And I think it's actually an interesting take so far. I've seen two episodes. It's not the most speedy show, but I think it's really interesting. I'm connecting with it specifically because same kind of concept, a man who loses his job and having lost his job turns to a life of basically petty crime amongst the top 5%, the wealthy in a neighborhood where nobody's really checking the houses and making sure things are happening. But it's really a lot more where the gimmick was the thieving and the stealing and the trying to make money because he used to be a stockbroker. The thing that I think that really comes through so far in the heart is how he's just trying to connect with his daughter, connect with his son, you know, still has conversations with the ex, the relationship he has with the Olivia Munn character. So I think there's a lot of depth in the show. So I'm just curious how the personal relationships of it all are intertwined as he's literally ripping these people off. So it's an interesting take.
Okay.
That's on Apple TV Plus.
Apple TV Plus. John, do you have anything? I don't think you did.
No, I'm really just stuck on this whole Biff Tannen thing, you know? all right. So, I mean, I'm trying to break down this list. We have John Wick and Robert McCall. Those are our frontline takedown squad guys, right? Deadly precision at its best. Then we have Sydney and Ethan, stealth, tactics, sabotage behind enemy lines. Also really good at what they do. You got Dom as transport and heavy lifting and pure brawler energy. And then we have like Biff as a chaos agent, smash first and maybe think later if we're lucky. Like, really, what is, if so for fun, like if Biff survives the first fight, is it either because the bad guys are laughing too hard at him or is it because Dom taught him how to fight and be punchy?
It's Troy's call.
I say it's because they're laughing at him and then he slings poo in their face and then he's off to the races.
He just carries poo with him?
Yep.
Now he just carries poo with him everywhere he goes.
I like it.
I mean, do you see how much poo he was covered in over three movies?
I mean, I like it. The other thing that I saw back on topic is Neighborhood Watch, which is on video on demand. You can rent it right now. It's absolutely worth the rental. It's Jeffrey Dean Morgan and Jack Quaid, who's in literally everything. He hasn't said no to a movie all year, but he plays someone who is mentally unstable. He has schizophrenia and he witnesses someone getting kidnapped. And the police will not believe him because of his mental illness past. So he goes to Jeffrey Dean Morgan, who is a former security guard. He's a former director of campus security, but Jack Quaid's character thinks he's a cop. And so he asks him to help him, and he just wants to prove that he's worth something, so they do. So these two imbeciles end up trying to find this girl that's been kidnapped, going off the deceptive memory of someone who has schizophrenia. And they play it fairly level. Like, it's not making fun of his illness and it's not Jeffrey Dean Morgan as a boob. Like, they're both competent at what they're trying to do. They just have issues that are kind of holding them back. But together, they actually work pretty well as a team as the movie goes on. And it was both very sweet in many ways. It was kind of charming. I really appreciated Jeffrey Dean Morgan actually doing a role for the first time in a long time, not just doing Negan. And really just kind of becoming empathetic to the struggles that Jack Quaid had and how to communicate with him when nobody else would even try. It became like a really sweet, kind of beautiful relationship. And I really dug it. I'd give it 750. It's really something I recommend. Neighborhood Watch.
You know, before he was Negan, he was Denny Duquette in Grey's Anatomy.
Before he was that, he was Sam and Dean Winchester's dad.
Yeah.
He was the comedian. That's really all you need to know. That's it. All right, one more. Troy, tell us about you. Tell us about you without spoiling it before we get to Thunderbolts.
Well, see, I was born in a small town in Wisconsin. Oh, not about me.
Jesus.
About
Jesus. I just can't with you. I can't with you.
I'll just say that Netflix still sticking to their guns about dropping everything all at one time. So I sat down and I binged the shit out of this because I didn't want to get spoiled because it was the final season.
Is this 10 up? It was 10 episodes for this.
10 episodes sounds right. Yeah. And most of the episodes I think are totally worth it and valid. So I didn't feel like any of the episodes in this season were filler at all or like, let's just get to the next one kind of thing.
That's good.
So I definitely feel there was enough content to fill up all 10 episodes, which was really great. There is a new quote-unquote shop girl in the mix because they do go back to New York City after the events of London in season 4. Kate Lockwood that he gets married to at the end of season four is still present, as well as the rest of the Lockwood family is in this fifth season. And yeah.
Do they stick the landing? That's yes, no, and what your score? Let's keep this very vague.
I'm gonna say that the ending is however you want to interpret the ending. It is a very artistic ending, which I think some people will like and some people will hate.
There is an ending though, right?
There's definitely an ending.
Okay. Okay. What would you give it? If $10 full price admission for the whole season, what would you give?
I would say I was like a solid 8 going into episode 9, and then I backed it off to a 7.
Okay, so you didn't love the artistic choice necessarily.
It was. I think it could have been a little faster. There was a lot of like, okay, come on, really, okay, in that last episode.
Well, makes you feel better. I feel like that every episode of that show. So I'm still trying to understand. I see people that actually say, "Oh, he's so dreamy," and he's so. I'm like. He literally stalks people. I saw somebody posted literally when it came out and said, why can't I get a boyfriend that's that focused on me? I'm like, he's a serial stalker and killer. How focused do you want him to be?
And I will tell you, that's the cool thing about this season. That is the primary focus of the season is like, can you, knowing what you know, why are you still attracted to Joe?
Sure. Good. That sounds interesting then.
Yeah. So it was definitely, I would say if you're going to watch this, if you've never watched You before, season 1, season 3, season 5, skip 2 and 4.
Okay. All right. Now let's get into our Thunderbolts review. Okay. Now it is time for Thunderbolts. We have seen it. Troy and I have, and we're going to talk real quick, spoiler free, and then we're probably going to dive into some details with the spoilers. So if you don't know what Thunderbolts is about, where you been, man? So Marvel Studios assembles an unconventional team of anti-heroes, Yelena Belova, Bucky Barnes, also known as the Winter Soldier, the Red Guardian, Ghost, Taskmaster, and Timu Captain America, John Walker. Oh, and Bob. Bob's there too. And after finding themselves ensnared in a death trap set by Valentina Allegra de Fontaine, to cover up for her seditious crimes, these misfits must team up to face a much darker threat than many heroes have ever faced. Okay, so that's the spoiler-free synopsis. And like I said, we're going to tell you if it's worth your money before we get into some spoilers, but there's a lot of stuff we want to talk about, and I want to get into it. So overall thoughts, spoiler-free, Troy, and your score before we get too deep in the weeds here.
No, I think I liked it overall. It started out great. Then it was kind of like this like lull in the middle where I was kind of like, I don't know, like speed it up. We need some like action here. And then it got to be kind of comedic and funny again. And then it got to the real heart of the movie itself. And that heart of the movie went to a place where I never, ever thought it was going to go. And that really saved it for me. So I would totally recommend going to see it opening weekend.
Yeah. And if you're hearing this opening weekend, yeah, definitely go see it. This is... What I'll tell you, what I think about it, without spoiling anything, is this is the best Marvel movie I've seen in a long time. And that's a good sign. I feel good about that. I liked the last Captain America movie. And Deadpool and Wolverine is kind of an anomaly. I wouldn't really count it as part of the MCU. It's its own thing. So I'm not really counting that as part of what the MCU is these days. This was, I thought, ended up being great. It has a lot of connection to mental health and to loneliness and really has an impact in that respect a lot deeper than I ever expected from a superhero movie. So not only do the characters pop, they really work well as a team. They're working together as a team in a reasonable, sensical way. It's not just some force being thrown together. And I just absolutely kind of adored them by the end. And you know, you do find out what the asterisk means, and it's totally not what I expected. So it's pretty cool. I'm sure if you know the comics, you probably know, but yeah, I have $10 full price admission. I give this $8.50. I loved it.
I'm right there with you. When I got done, I was like, I want to see another one.
Well, you will most likely, as long as this does well. And I hope it does. So,
we will. Cause we were told.
Yeah, that's right. We were told. Now, I don't want to hold anybody up. So if that's all you want to know is the spoiler-free concept, like in terms of the review, I will tell you the movie is held up by Florence Pugh. She is the star of this thing. There's always a leader. She is the leader. It's not Bucky Barnes like I kind of expected. It's really Yelena. She is the heart and soul of this whole piece. And they do a very different dynamic in terms of how to confront their foe, so to speak. It's not as cut and dry as most superhero movies are. And I really, really did appreciate that.
I think what we should say is we should tell people that it's not a superhero movie, because I really felt it was not a superhero movie.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's definitely a movie that had superheroes in it, but it was not a superhero movie.
It's not the same kind. It's not the same kind.
Definitely not.
So now we're going to jump into some spoilery thoughts. So if you haven't seen it, or if you want to savor it until you see it and then come back, please do. But we're going to hop into it. So with that, okay, now we're into spoilers. This is no longer the Thunderbolts, asterisk. This is the New Avengers. Uh-huh. What a surprise that was.
I was shocked. Shocked, I tell you.
Great. Now we finally know what that freaking asterisk was. I thought it was because it was the soccer team reference. I didn't know that it was going to end up being the New Avengers.
I knew it was going to be the New Avengers.
Did you?
Yeah.
How? Did you spoil yourself?
Because of the comics. Comics are there.
Did you read these comics? No.
I know of the comics. I didn't read the comics, but I know the lore. I mean, I'm educated.
I didn't know. I don't know this one. I didn't know this one. But one thing, I really love how each individual character is kind of having their own like personal struggles, even though they can be an asshole or an assassin or just malcontent, whatever. They each had their own struggles. And Yelena's in particular was really mental health related, which was a really primary focal point of the whole movie, which surprised the hell out of me.
Yeah, I mean, it opens up there right out of the gate with her kind of, you know, I don't like my job. My sister's dead. I'm sitting on top of a building that looks like I'm going to jump off of, which she does, yeah. But not for the reasons you would think she was doing it based on what she's been saying. So like, there's a lot of good dark metaphors in here about depression and mental health. And I think that was pleasantly surprising because I was like, what is this movie trying to say? And then as you go with the ride, it's kind of like, wow, like this is not at all what I was expecting when I sat down tonight.
Me either, man. And it's like, I like that we get time with Bob. I mean, I think you could, as soon as you meet him, you're like, okay, there's a lot more to this guy than you expect. I didn't know Sentry. I don't know that character or whatnot. So I had no idea where they were going with that. I didn't know, you know, how he has this power of 1 million exploding suns. Like he's basically Superman for our world, but mentally ill, you know, and I thought that was fascinating. You know, we've seen this here and there. Brightburn is a good movie where they, you know, basically have a sociopathic Superman, but I don't think I've seen it done like this, where it's someone really just struggling with depression that has superpowers and it doesn't know how to use them. And basically when he gets to buried in the darkness, in his own darkness, that's when his superpowers come out. So he just starts disappearing people, which was
or
scary.
Entrapping them in their own minds, I think is probably the more apropos.
Right, but it looks like they're disappearing. Like the first time it happens, you're like, oh my God, Bob! Yeah,
you were like, it's the ash shake, what's all over again? What's going on?
I did, yeah. I'm like, who snapped? Oh shit, who snapped? Yeah, I absolutely love this. I love that the end of the movie is not basically centered around destroying a city and who's going to stop them and blah, blah, blah. Because I kept, while they were trying to figure out what they were going to do, I couldn't help but think there's no way they can take him. I mean, they're all just normal people mostly. I mean, they might have some super serum here and there, but they're not going to take Superman. But man, they really just make it a mental health lesson to a large degree.
Yeah. And then just that whole relationship you have between Alexei and, you know, Yelena. It's just like when that whole sequence happens and she's like standing there on the brink, you know, facing Bob and just on the precipice of like, am I going to lose myself to, you know, loneliness and despair, or am I going to come back and be with my dad and my friends? Mm-hmm. And she like just takes that step in and it's like, wow, like that actually happened. And then the emotion that Alexei goes through because he thinks he lost second daughter, basically. And it's just like, that was hard. That was hard to witness. And then, of course, she's fine because she's, you know, just in her own mind. She's not actually dead.
Yeah, but I mean, it was so well done because it's all, I mean, we're going to probably bounce around a little bit as we talk more about the characters. But I love that it was right after the superhero moment that you always get. And, you know, it's a calm before the storm and all that jive. But, I mean, it just gets so dark so fast. And when she steps in, you know she's going to be okay because she's Florence Pugh. She's the star of the movie. But I got to be honest, when they started disappearing people, I wondered. I'm like, oh, crap, maybe this is it. Maybe this is like a big twist. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's gruesome is not the right word. It's scary enough. It's unnerving. There's a good word. It's unnerving enough to make you wonder, are they actually dead? And then did Florence Elena basically kill herself and commit suicide? And it was like, why are we going through these emotions in a superhero movie?
But, and I think they do, the reason why it works, I think, is because at the beginning, Taskmaster, who, if you watched some of the shows Taskmaster was part of, then you had a little bit of a connection to her, and she dies almost instantly when they're in the bunker. So it's like, oh, well, they've already shown that they're willing to kill a character pretty quick. I mean, she got shot in the head, and then nobody talks about the rest of the movie like she didn't exist. I feel kind of bad for her. You know, imagine her being at the premiere, Olga Kurylenko. I can't say her name right, but you know, she's at the premiere like, here's my big, oh, well, that's over.
Yep. See ya.
So fast. So let's talk about the character. It just makes it easier rather than going through the movie as a whole. But Julia Louis-Dreyfus is Valentina Allegra Dufontaine. Now, here she is. She has this arc where she is essentially, she's dirty, right? She's dirty as they come. She's full of government corruption. She's been doing the secret program. She's the one that helped create Bob. And she's just trying to wipe her own slate clean by killing these people. And by the end of the movie, she's owned by Florence Pugh, essentially. What do you think of this arc and this character in general?
Honestly, I've never liked the Valentina character throughout the TV series and the stuff that she's been in. I thought she's kind of annoying. And this was the first time I actually felt her as like a full fleshed out character, to be honest.
I agree with that.
I like how she like stood up to the Senate committee. I really like the whole, like, I'm just like a person that's trying to do good for America, but like, I'm really a corporation that wants to steal all the money and make all of the stuff and research and blah, 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 blah. So you got that kind of like evil villainous to her, but yet she's not a villain per se, because she is actually trying to research a superhero program because the Avengers are gone.
Mm-hmm.
So who is going to save Earth? So she's taking it upon herself to basically do it on her own way, which never is the right way, but she does end up making a superhero basically in Bob, aka Century. And I think that, you know, the way she maneuvers that entire sequence of like, shit, I got to hide everything. Shit, this is actually happening. And oh my God, it's real. And oh my God, I got to hide everything. Like, I felt like she really ran the gamut the entire movie, where I was like, I could actually put up the Valentina's character going forward.
Yeah, she started to win me over too. Kind of like the anti Fury, the anti Nick Fury, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, because you'll never know, you're never going to know where her interests lie and where her loyalties lie, which I like.
Her fame. That's what it is. Her fame.
Mm-hmm.
Her importance.
And then you got Lewis Pullman, who's Bill Pullman's kid, by the way, if you didn't know who that is, playing Bob, a.k.a. Robert Reynolds, a.k.a. Sentry, who's both a superhero and a supervillain in the comics, which you kind of get here, right? He goes both ways.
Uh-huh. Yep.
And I dug this character mostly because I think it really, it's so weird that it's a superhero movie, but as the movie goes on and you kind of understand the darkness in his soul, so to speak, and the depression that's at his heart and the void that he keeps talking about, which is depression, they really take it seriously. I mean, it's really, you know, he's trying to wrestle with it. He's trying to fight it back and it just keeps winning. And the more he goes at it alone, the more it consumes him. And it's when there's people there helping him that it really, like, it just showcases how horrible depression can be and how lonely it can feel. And I think the movie does a very good job of that, which surprised the hell out of me because it's a freaking superhero movie. That's not really a superhero movie.
Yeah. And I think they did a really great job with how the climax comes to be, you know, and
in his mind,
in his own mind. Mm-hmm. And he's like straddling the dark side, the light side is straddling the dark side, and he's just punching the shit out of the dark side. And as someone who has depression personally, mm-hmm. like I'm like, I knew right away, like, that's not the way to deal with it, dude, because it's just going to make it worse. Mm-hmm. Like you got to find your tribe. You got to find your peeps. You got to get out of the house. You got to get out of bed. You got to take one step forward to something different than just sitting in the shit. And like, I love the way that they like brought that to life on the screen to explain that. I thought that was just an amazing job to just spotlight mental health that way.
And I really, really appreciated, you know, early on Yelena, and it's kind of a funny moment, right? Where she's telling Bob, where Bob's like, well, how do we deal with it? And she's like, well, you just push that down. And as the movie goes on, she realizes that's the wrong way to handle it and actually acknowledges that that's the wrong way to handle it, which is very true. But when she said push it down, that is what people that want to be seen as tough would always say, right? Just push it down, just walk it off, that sort of thing. So I really appreciated that. That had a full circle moment, like a real, because usually in these kind of movies, right, it is said like that, and then you never come back to it, and you never see the repercussions of somebody who actually does push it down and becomes consumed with anger or hate or depression or whatever, or loneliness in this case.
Yeah, because she's sitting there watching it happen, and she's like, oh shit, I gave him that advice. Mm-hmm. I got to get out of this metal crushing thing that's like holding me against this door, and I got to go help him.
And plus, she finally found her other purpose, you know, is yeah. She wants to help. She doesn't want to be this monster anymore that Julia
Louis-Dreyfus goes on her whole own journey created. Through this entire thing. Right?
She does.
Bob's going yep. through his journey, right? She's going through her own journey as well.
So what'd you think of the character of Ghost? I think in terms of the Thunderbolts, AKA the new Avengers, as it were, Hannah Giancaman is probably, she gets the least character development, I would say.
Yeah.
So what do you think? I mean, her powers are cool. She can transport and teleport, however you want to word it. And that's really about all we get to learn from her. So she might be in one of the shows and I just didn't watch it. Or I don't remember it because I just didn't care much about the Marvel shows. And that's why I think these movies, if make sure you do a good job of explaining them. I don't think her character gets much. But I still like her. She just is not one that really felt highlighted to me.
Yeah. I mean, if you're thinking like, I'm trying to think like X-Men, like it, like Cyclops, I always felt was kind of like a standby character. Granted, he's got the whole love triangle thing going on. But like Cyclops is just kind of he's just there, right? Mm-hmm. I felt like that's what her character was in this, like some comedic humor. Her abilities obviously come in handy at certain points in time.
Ant-Man and the Wasp. That's the one she was in. Now I remember. Yeah. I remember now. Okay. Sorry. Go ahead.
And yeah, so I just feel like there could have been more with her character, but I think it served the purpose it needed to serve.
Yeah. I mean, that's fair. It just shows you it's not a very memorable character if I had to remember which movie she was even in.
No, it's like I wrote them in because I needed her to do certain things like get the car and get out of the building, right? Go through the wall and that kind of stuff. So it's interesting when you kind of step back and look at it. It was almost like it was written to a point and therefore I need a character that can do these things. Mm-hmm. So here, let's go pick this person in and just stick them in for right now versus having like a truly fleshed out story.
As opposed to Wyatt Russell, who's Captain Timu, Captain America, John Walker. And I think he has a great arc. Like and it's not as fleshed out as Florence Pugh and Bucky Barnes, obviously. But I really, really dug his assholery at the beginning. And as the movie goes along, he finally gets the opportunity to be who he always wanted to be and thought he was for a long time, you know, as Captain America. That's who he wanted to be. He wanted to be a hero. That's all he's ever wanted to be.
Yeah, and his moment that he gets, because like every time someone gets near Bob, they kind of have their own depressive episode.
Kind of.
Or remembering a piece of their life where they had a really bad moment. And so he's obviously going through that moment over and over again, you know, as he's reading the article about the things that had happened to him and what happened to the Avengers and like who's left to like solve anything. And he's kind of like ignoring his kid and his wife because of that.
Yeah.
And so for him to kind of go on his own journey as well throughout the course of the movie to realize I am Captain America, even if someone else thinks they're Captain America.
Yeah. A lot of people think they're Captain America these days. And now he's got this like bent ass shield. I'm like, couldn't you have Bob straighten that out or somebody? I mean, can you drop some of that concrete on the shield and maybe flatten it out a little bit?
You know, the X-Men will come around at some point. So Magneto will just flush it out for him.
There we go. Gotta love that tease at the end too with Fantastic Four. If you didn't stay after the credits, boy, you missed it because they're gonna do some time traveling because
Did they cheer in your theater?
Yes.
When the Fantastic Four plane came on?
People got pretty excited.
I was like, we kind of know the movie's coming because we saw the trailer before the movie started. Like, mm-hmm. were you really surprised to see that it was the Fantastic Four?
I think they're just happy to get, they got some confirmation.
Yeah.
Right. Happy to get some of that. Okay. So David Harbour, right? He's Red Guardian. I got to say, heart of the movie. I mean, easily. Florence Pugh is the soul of the movie. He's the heart of the movie. He's the one that just keeps it light, keeps the jokes flowing, keeps you invested, but also has a real heavy dose of humanity because he really acts like a dad. Like, he's very proud and he's like trying to yay her up and trying to get her back on her game and whatnot. Like, I loved his performance here. I absolutely loved it.
I would 100% agree. I especially love the Wheaties moment.
The Wheaties at the end was so good. Oh my God. And she's like, you're a creepy dude, man. No.
Like, he has some great stuff. When the limo is streaking across the desert and you can see,
and the pony comes on.
Yelena's like a 14-year-old kid again, going like, "Oh my God, that's my dad!
Oh my God, my dad! He's so embarrassing! Oh God!"
I think the best was the corporate sponsor branded Avengers uniforms
with a Z. That's why we're Avengers with a Z.
Avengers with a Z. I was like, "That's amazing."
There's a lot of good moments in here, man. I think it was a great movie. I really love this. Now, what did you think about Bucky Barnes? Sebastian Stan, he's back. I mean, I wish this guy would just cut his hair.
Typical Bucky.
Yeah, everything was a typical Bucky. I like when he takes his arm off and throws it at him. That was pretty funny.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. But no, I like the fact that he's like straight and narrow, congressperson, doing the thing.
Trying to be good,
you know. And then here he's got roped back into these numbskulls that he's got to help out.
Thanks to Mel. Mel keeps him in the game. I should mention, do you like her as a character? I mean, it looks like she's trying to be a good person.
Yeah, I think fine. Yeah. She reminds me of, oh my gosh, totally going to forget her name, but Colby Smulders, like sidekick to Nick Fury.
Mm.
Like, she's like that equivalent for Valentina, I guess.
Oh, one thing, I don't know if you saw this, right? If you caught this when they were doing the montage of the credits at the end, and right before, I think it's before
those
the
were
Wheaties.
Really good too,
they,
by the way.
They're very pictures? Good, very clever. Yeah. There's one of their posters is literally a Justice League nod.
It was.
Did you see it?
I was hoping you saw that.
Okay.
I was like,
so I'm not nuts.
I was like, did they just do that? Because that was pretty awesome.
They just posed as the Justice League. Yeah, it was brilliant. And it was I think it was a Justice League poster for the original, not the recut movie. It was just the original one. So it was great. I loved that. Loved it. And then you got the star of the movie, who's Florence Pugh as Yelena Belova, who, again, I mean, it's funny because, you know, sometimes you see more smaller people when they're in these action roles. You're like, well, you don't seem very badass. I think she seems awesome. Like, she seems like she could beat the shit out of everybody in the room. And I love that. And she's the best thing about everything she ever does. Florence Pugh is fantastic. She is a fantastic actress.
And I feel bad for her here only because...
Why?
Because she's so good in the actress part of it, right? The acting part of it. There is some really bad wire work with some of her stunts where it's like noticeable.
Where you can see it was a wire, like she's floating.
Yeah. Like she's like going in like one direction and I'm like, yeah, gravity doesn't work that way. Where her body twists a certain way and you're kind of like... Yeah, your body doesn't twist that quickly. So either you sped up the camera to hide something or, yeah, there were just a couple that were kind of janky, especially that sequence when she's running towards Bob at the end.
That's the one that's really the one that comes to mind.
Yeah.
When she's trying to get to him. And it's really like that last step, right? Where she's jumping over and it just feels, you can tell that the wires are carrying her as opposed to it's a fluid movement.
Correct.
Yeah. But otherwise, I think, she's flawless. Yeah,
no, she's great though. Here. She's great.
I love the character.
Now that I'm thinking about it, that whole opening sequence when she's like taking out the soldiers in the hallway and it's that top down camera shot and she's like fighting her way through but everybody's like all the soldiers are in black. I was wondering if that was like her, like a foreshadowing moment of what happens with Bob, you know, when he's like doom and gloom Bob. If that was like a foreshadowing moment, like how she's trying to fight through all that black, all that gloom and doom,
kind of, because she was talking about it, right? That was part of her narration. I could see that. I think
the soldiers go down, it kind of, they kind of like fall in that motion of the black tar streak or whatever you want to call it.
Well, and she's so empty when she's doing it. I mean, this is just, it's going through the motions. I love how they open the movie and they just treat it like she's talking about her office job. Like she works in the she works in Office Space and it's the most mundane thing and she just wants a goddamn stapler. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's how she seems throughout the opening credits, which I thought was a nice touch, but also a lot deeper than you expected because it's funny. It is funny, but she's talking about like things that people feel every day about how mundane their life is, going through the motions.
Super mundane.
Yeah.
No, it's great.
I love that there's a superhero movie where I feel like there's something worth talking about. And I got to ask you, like, so we got through this, and I think a lot of people kind of wrote this off as a Marvel's Suicide Squad, us included, right? Just feels like Marvel's Suicide Squad. Do you see it differently now that the movie's over?
100%. Oh my gosh. Like, had I known, and it was weird, right? The first hour, I'm like, I seen all this. Everything in the first hour was in the trailer. And I'm like, what new is going to happen? And then when the new happens in the second hour, you're kind of like, whoa, this is so not what I thought this movie was going to be about. Mm-hmm. This is so much better than anything I could have anticipated or thought. Because when you see the trailer and you see the people like disappearing in the trailer, you're like, oh, great. Another space alien has come to like ruin the planet. We got to save him from the space alien. And then you find out it's not a space alien. And you're like, oh, shit. Okay, this is real.
Yeah, and I kept waiting for something like that. Oh, the city's going to blow up. No, the city's going to be consumed by darkness, by absolute depression. And
right.
That's the super villain, which is one that everybody can feel. So it's very, it hits close to home.
It's and one we hope that many people don't have to feel, but absolutely. If you do, it's totally okay.
Yeah, absolutely. It's
and we see you, and we understand you, and we're here for you.
And such an interesting way to explain it and to show it where, you know, there's various rooms. This is the nice room. There are far worse rooms where horrible things happen because, you know, that's how we compartmentalize. We pack things away into little sections or rooms in our head and
stuff it down.
Yeah. Either stuff it down or deal with it, you know, whichever way you choose to go with it. And everybody handles it differently. That's the important part. Like everyone handles things differently. But I do think having a support system is a very, very important element to Agreed. Mental health.
So but I'm excited because when this was all done, I was kind of like, I like these guys together. Uh-huh. I would watch another show with these guys together.
Absolutely.
I would hope that it now, then I was like excited. I was like, what's going to happen in the mid credits? What's going to happen at the end of the credits? Like, what are they going to tease now that this is all set up? Because I feel like there was momentum, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm sure that Ryan Reynolds will still say that he was Marvel Jesus, but this is like the first time where I felt like we might be on to another 10-year run.
Yes. And I'll tell you, by the end of the movie, and I was with you about halfway through, I'm thinking, I already know what this movie is. I already know this movie. Like, I feel like I've already seen this movie. Even though I love the characters, and I especially love Yelena and Red Guardian together. They're a sweet father-daughter team. You can tell he loves her, or at least the performance makes it seem like it. You can tell she loves him, but she's still embarrassed by his ass. You know, but it's still like, I feel like there's nothing new. And then the second half hits and I'm like, God damn, this is so much deeper. There were people in my audience that were crying, man. Like they were emotional over this. Like, cause that hit, it hit a lot of people personally.
I was close. I was like, I can't do it.
No, cause yeah, it hit you
I
home.
Felt it.
It's
I
very much it. What it's like. If you've never, whenever people say, well, I don't understand depression, that's a good representation of it. And they do it in an interesting, you know, genre heavy way, but it's very close. I mean, how Bob was feeling is very close.
Yeah. And people don't understand, like, depression isn't like the best way to explain it. It's not all I'm emo and I walk around and wearing all black all the time.
No,
I'm just a sad person. Depression is literally there are chemicals that are like the endorphin, the boosting, the good stuff. And they're just depressed in your brain and they don't perform like they're supposed to. So in order to like help that out, you need to actually take meds that are going to invigorate those chemicals and get them moving again.
Or there's other mental health exercises. Yeah. Everyone's is different. So it's
totally.
Everybody is different.
But yeah, it's not like they want to be sad. It's not like they're trying to be sad. It's literally their brain can't function normally. It's just like ADHD or other neurodivergency type stuff. Like you just have to get through it, you know, and whether it's through hypnosis or talk therapy or other therapy or medicine. Like, it's just, it's a challenge every day. Like, even though you seem fine, it's going to be there no matter what.
Mm-hmm. And I thought it was very subtle how they handle it, but how people perceive you and listen to what the things that you say matters in terms of how receptive they are to what you're dealing with. Like, Yelena was receptive because she heard the words that were kind of triggering for her. Like, she knew that this was a concerning statement that he was making. So she was constantly worried about him. Where you had Valentina, why do I think you've seen with a yeah? Like, she's Zoe Saldana.
Because you're an Hispanic girl. It's okay.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I'm married to somebody Hispanic. So Valentina is very much only worried about herself. So she doesn't hear anything like that. So she's more concerned about having him as a force up front and not listening to his true despair, that if she would listen, you should know, should not be trained to have superpowers. Like, you should not be unlocking his full potential because he's dangerous, because he can't control his emotions right now. He's really unhealthy. He needs to get healthy for that to work.
Yeah.
So what do you think about the new Avengers? You want to see a new Avengers movie? The next one would be called the New Avengers, something along those lines.
I'm sure the new Avengers will be coming at some point in time.
Well, they will return.
Yep.
And I assume they'll be in Doomsday.
That's kind of what I was thinking.
They got to. They just alluded to it. Right. Outer space, Fantastic Four. You already know Fantastic Four is going to be in Doomsday. Just started filming. They're going to be in Doomsday. That's going to be the biggest cast of all time.
Biggest cast of all time.
Oh, my God.
What did you think of the Fantastic Four trailer?
I'm a little more excited about it than I have been, honestly. And I love the cast. I just love the cast. I'm just still kind of sick of Fantastic Four, but I'm sure I'll enjoy it.
I think we're sick of it because it's never been done right.
Maybe. I'm not standing for that. I like the original movie. I think that was a fun movie. Dumb in many ways. Sure. The cast I liked, I thought it was fine. Dr. Doom sucked. He was terrible. Julian McMahon, is that who it was?
Yeah.
But I liked the cast, and I enjoyed that first one. Silver Surfer was terrible.
We didn't have anything to like compare to probably at that time. Maybe. From a superhero perspective.
This will be more comic accurate, I'm sure.
Yeah. I mean, sure. I liked the prop, the sets, the costumes. Pedro looks good. You know, I think it's going to be fun.
But you definitely want to see these guys together again.
For sure.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. And I'm always happy to see Wendell Pierce. Wendell Pierce is a guy I love from Jack Ryan. As Congressman Gary, he's the one that's trying to put Valentina.
I was trying to remember where he was from.
Yeah, from Jack I'm Ryan, like, man. I love him.
I'm like, dude, like, he looks so familiar.
In suits. Yeah. He's been in a lot of stuff, but I love him. He's so good at being an asshole. He's so exactly. good at it. All right. Well, anything in closing?
Go see it. Maybe twice. Because yes. There might be stuff you missed that we didn't pick up on.
This is one that could reignite your interest in superhero movies. So definitely check out Thunderbolts. I really had a great time. So remember, the next time you head to a theater, see Thunderbolts, buy popcorn. And leave knowing that now it's the new Avengers. And I want that Wheaties box.
I do want the Wheaties box, actually.
I want to keep one.